It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. It's Monday, March 11th, 2024. Well, our marine weather. We've had some pretty interesting weather over the weekend, and we're not done yet. Another strong Pacific frontal system will move across our waters late this morning through this evening. Stormy weather across the northeastern Pacific in general will keep sea heights elevated through at least tomorrow. So we have a hazardous seas warning in effect through this morning and a gale warning in effect from this morning through this evening. Today's forecast includes south winds 20 to 25 knots gusting to 30, rising to 35 to 40 with gusts to 45 in the afternoon. Occasional gusts to 50 knots possible. Combined seas 19 feet with a dominant period of 14 seconds in the afternoon. And rain is in the forecast. And as of yesterday afternoon, the Columbia River Bar was on yellow status, and that means that some ship traffic may be asked to wait for better weather and not cross the Columbia River Bar until conditions improve. Well, I saw a comment on the Ship Report community photo page last week, and by the way, that's a page that I created, and you can join it if you want to take pictures of ships and you want to share them with other like-minded folks. So there was a question there about ship groundings on the Columbia and how often they happen. And just as an aside, thank you very much to Greg Akerst, who assists me as a moderator of that group. That's the Ship Report community photo page, if you're interested. Thanks so much, Greg, for your help. But back to the topic of ships running aground on the river. I thought this would be a good topic to talk about because it involves so many interesting aspects of navigating in a restricted waterway, meaning one that has lots of constraints on how vessels can move, like a narrow channel, limited depth, lots of turns in the channel, and large vessels trying to fit themselves into that setting. So how often does running aground, as it's called, happen? Well, I don't have any stats in front of me, but I can say anecdotally that every few years a ship does run aground, and it makes the news. Now, running aground means that the ship's hull touches bottom because the water is not deep enough under the vessel. There are various degrees of severity of running aground, from just one small part of the hull touching bottom, that's the least of it, to running hard aground is the term, where the ship is so stuck it can't be easily moved, and sometimes the entire ship's bottom is stuck deeply in the bottom of the waterway. Every once in a while, something goes wrong on a ship and it hits bottom. There are a number of possible causes for this here. Among them, the channel is narrow, currents are strong, and if a ship strays too far to the right in its transit, the side of its hull could contact the edge of the channel. But pilots are trained to avoid this, and so it's not usually a reason why groundings happen. The most common reason for groundings here is a mechanical failure of some kind on the ship. While the U.S. Coast Guard does safety inspections on all ships entering the river here, it's impossible to know how well-maintained a ship's engines and related systems are on any vessel. It's not all that uncommon for a ship's engine to quit during a transit. If this happens, the ship can suddenly lose the ability to steer, and that means that whatever course line it was on, it continues to go that way. If the ship was making a turn in the channel and can't steer all of a sudden, physics dictates that it's going to hit the edge of the channel in some fashion and perhaps get stuck. And there are about 100 course changes that ships make on their way to Portland from Astoria. In terms of what the people on board do when this happens, it's of course an emergency. Marine pilots are ready for this and trained for it, and in cases of groundings, they will do all they can to stop the ship and keep it out of the way of other vessels. This can include dropping anchors, using bow and stern thrusters to move the ship out of harm's way, and other tactics that are used in an emergency. The aim is to safely stop the ship and move it out of the way of other vessels in the river. The possibility for this happening is ever present, and it's one reason why there is usually a minimum of a couple of miles between ships traveling in the same direction on the river to give them time to react if something goes wrong. It's necessary for ships to pass one another in opposite directions in the channel, but those passings are carefully orchestrated to happen in areas where there is ample room for vessels to move and avoid one another. If engine failure is the problem, there's the issue of restarting a ship's engines after they quit. If solving the problem is simply a matter of restarting it, which is sometimes the case, Then the crew begins the process of restarting the engines, which can take 20 minutes, a half an hour. So it's not a matter of putting a key in the ignition and starting it up like a car or a boat engine. It's time-consuming. If there are other mechanical issues that can't be resolved on the spot, the ship will make arrangements to either anchor in place and wait for repairs, or be towed to a safe anchorage or berth to wait for help. In the case of a simple grounding, where just part of the ship's hull is lightly stuck, usually the best way to get a stuck ship loose is to wait for the next high tide to float her off the bottom. The ship is usually secured with tugs while she waits. They hold her in place so she doesn't swing out into the channel and obstruct traffic. If the ship is seriously stuck, hard aground, more time-consuming strategies come into play. You may remember the container ship Ever Forward, which plowed into the mud after it left Baltimore Harbor a few years back. That ship missed a turn in the channel, and by the time she came to a stop, she was fully aground all along the length of her massive hull. It took a while to get her out of there, and strategies to do that included, at the time, taking many containers off her to make her lighter so she would sit higher in the water, and numerous tugs helping to push and pull her out of the mud during high tide. Eventually, it worked, and because the bottom was soft mud, this happened in Chesapeake Bay, the ship was not badly damaged. But it shows you that the only real remedy for a seriously stuck ship is to find a way to refloat her. If that is impossible, it pretty much means you'll have to take the ship apart to remove it. These vessels are simply too heavy to muscle around, and it shows you how powerful the force of the water can be. On the Columbia, it's amazing to think how little water there sometimes is under a ship's bottom under normal circumstances. Upriver from Astoria on the Columbia, there can sometimes be just a few feet of water under the keel. That's just business as usual, and pilots jokingly call it shoehorning a ship. So you can see that with all the possible pitfalls in a restricted waterway like the Columbia River, it would not take much of a problem to cause a ship to run aground in that type of situation. The fact that it doesn't happen more often is a testament to the skill of our marine professionals here, especially pilots and ship crews. They do an amazing job every day under our noses, and many of us don't even notice it. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. You'll find ship schedules and a podcast of this program on my website at shipreport.net. Ship Report podcasts also on Apple and Spotify. You'll find marine weather and links to ship schedules and more on my Ship Report Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.